And welcome to another Cynical Supplement. I don't know if there'll be audio issues during this, because I have found that Audition has started stuttering. I don't know if it's because my hard drive's gotten shitter with time, or this program's gotten shitter with time, but I haven't updated since, whatever the fuck, it was, what, 2003 or something? Nah, it had to be later than that. It's version 3.0. I don't know. Anyway. It's been a long fucking time, guys. Holy shit. I recognize that. I apologized earlier in the uploading of our Game of the Year podcast. But here I am, as I promised, Cynical Supplement, because everyone else couldn't get together, / I had a wedding to go to, things come up. Everything seems to happen around New Year's. And I don't know if it's just me, but the last 2.5 months just kind of fucking flew by in some like nightmare, like, I don't want to say hell ride, because it's actually kind of fun, but, you know, it was like a freaking continuous stream of events happening to me and everyone else around me, by the looks of things. Anyway, on top of that, whole weekends were, like, just disappeared into Monster Hunter, irrecoverably, and same with Shadows of the Colossus. That was pretty awesome, but I might talk about those later in the show. What are we going to do first up here for this Cynical Supplement is I was thinking I'll still save... looking forward to the year, to the next actual show. Who knows how interesting that'll be with whatever remains of the year that's left when we actually get around to recording it. But for this show, I've actually picked out, just for the fun of it, really, every big news topic I could see from the start of the year that we missed. And the cool thing here is I don't think the stuff I picked is stuff that you wouldn't necessarily see as like the number one stunner on a headline list. Like some of it is, obviously. Some would be something everyone would have talked about back when this shit happened. But yeah, I was just looking through it. I don't remember hearing about some of this stuff. It was a surprise to me. Maybe it's just because I've been so busy, I've been paying attention, and it's all fucking old news. I don't know. But some of it's pretty cool. I'm just going to rattle through them and give my thoughts on all this fucking news that's happened since January 3rd. That's the first thing I'm looking at here. If I bore the shit out of you, I apologize, but hopefully you hear some things you hadn't heard before, or get reminded of some news you may have forgotten about along the way. Because not much has happened by the looks of things at the start of this year. Obviously, there was some weird shit when it comes to hardware problems with like Meltdown and shit, or like massive things with fucking... Fortnite of all things. I think it overtook PUBG, but I don't give a shit about that, so we won't be talking about it. There's just a lot of like little bits and pieces of gaming news spread over 2.5 months that I want to go into, and I'll go through that. So that's the start of the show here, and then after that I might talk about some Monster Hunter and some Shadows of the Colossus if I get time. I don't actually have that much time tonight. It's already 7:30 at night. I have work tomorrow. And I still need to do my daily writing, which I suck at. Yesterday I wrote 50 words, so I should give you some fucking idea how that's going. Anyway, first up, news. Bayonetta and Nier Automata dev Platinum Games discusses its new projects. This is, by the way, I got all my news today from GameSpot.com, a website about video games. If I missed something that was big... I either didn't care about it or GameSpot didn't. That's the upshot here. GameSpot doesn't, I actually don't like their write-ups that much, but it was a nice like contiguous list that I could just scroll through a page at a time really quickly. It took me about 50 minutes to compile all these news topics, which is actually a surprising large amount of time. I don't know. I didn't set out to spend that much time fucking trolling through news, but whatever. Anyway, back to this. Essentially, Platinum Games is talking about the new projects, and the upshot of this article here from January 3rd, 2018 is that they are working on, I guess you could say, Hellblade-sized games for the next two games, which is kind of exciting. They're going to self-publishing, is what they're aiming for, and they don't have enough money to make like massive $20 million AAA titles. But what they're doing instead is going small scale. So they had like a little company submission fest, much like Double Fine used to do. Might still do, I don't know. And they had 70 submissions for potential game ideas for them to do. And they settled on two of them and are working on those simultaneously at the moment. 20-man teams and self-published again. That seems really cool. Just going to drink here for a second. I think Platinum, I don't know, like the last game I remember of theirs that's purely theirs that to my knowledge that they worked on that I liked was Vanquish. Everything between there and now was like collaboration joints. Bayonetta I think might have been them. I'm not sure if that was just Platinum Games. If it was, there's your two. There's Bayonetta and Vanquish. Aside from that, like Nier Automata is known to be doing, it's pretty much a Yoko Taro game with Platinum doing the gameplay. That's why we loved it so much. That's why I won Game of the Year. That Platinum does excellent gameplay. Yoko Taro has really interesting concepts and story ideas, and that thing was just a match made in heaven. Hopefully they can come up with some interesting stuff like that going forward. I don't know. Like even if they come up with like another action title like Bayonetta or Vanquish, but brand new, something they haven't seen before, that could be really cool. So that's something to look forward to. Platinum Games, they haven't announced what the titles are, or what the genres they are, but they're working on it, and there you go. Next up, from, let's have a look here, January 17th, 2018, so there's a big gap there, I don't know. NVIDIA, this is from CES, NVIDIA's impressive new BFGD combines the best of gaming monitors with televisions. This is one of those weird things that looks to me like a concept piece that may never eventuate in actual product. I don't fucking know. Essentially, it is a 120 hertz G-Sync television. The version they had on display was 65 inch. So that's frame matching technology. Built into a high refresh rate television. I'm interested to know what other stuff it has in it, like backlight strobing, etc., to eliminate motion blur. But either way, like that's... So televisions have been doing 120 hertz for a while. I currently am sitting here with my new 4K OLED television, and I'm pretty sure that goes up to 120 hertz. Of course, when televisions do it, they usually do it via interpolation. They don't actually receive that signal and then redisplay it. Some Sony televisions do that, but most televisions don't. I don't think this LG does. Maybe it does. I'm not sure. But what the thing is with that is the panel is capable of it. And if you strip away the weird processing that the television does, or you find a way to make it faster, like G-Sync works, you can conceivably get a television that does have very low input lag and does frame matching up to 120 frames a second. So that's all like relatively within the stuff we've been able to do for the last 6-7 years. But now it's using G-Sync, which is a proven standard. And the difference here is that, it's not even a difference. Like now that I think about it, televisions have been able to go down to 24 hertz frame matched to Blu-rays for quite a while just to get that 24p Blu-ray picture going. And they could go up to 120. So televisions are able to do variable refresh rates. Anyway, I guess it's the difference is instead of being in a like a low frame rate mode and a high frame rate mode, it can now just freely move between the two, and that's technology that NVIDIA is adding to the equation. Either way, what it comes down to with these BFGDs, are big format gaming displays, fucking whatever. The thing that's adding there is price tag. We'll see. If these things are whatever, like a couple of grand more than the normal television of their size. Like we're already talking about a 65-inch television here. For an OLED, that's like fucking $3,000. If this thing goes for $5,000, it's that much further outside a normal person's price range. Like my television had to wait till it was like 40% off before I could even fucking afford it. And that's only a 55-inch. Like, the 65-inch version of this is a couple grand more in Australian dollars and sort of grandish more in US dollars. That's just crazy talk. I know gamers are older now than they used to be, so we can afford more. Does that mean we want to spend more? Not really. Like, I'd rather spend that money on games or, I don't know, fucking my mortgage or something. My proverbial mortgage I don't have. But you know what I mean. Kids. I don't know. So I don't. It's one of those weird things where if they combine this with someone like Vizio as a manufacturer, right, where you have a manufacturer that's made, that's known for low-cost, high-quality televisions, then add this technology to it, and then maybe add $1,000 on top of a Vizio television normal price tag. Then you get to the point where, okay, you have something that's competitive in price tag to an OLED, but with G-Sync. Without the perfect blacks and stuff, but with G-Sync and hopefully with HDR, that could be a compelling thing, but we'll see what they come up with. We don't know what the fuck this was. Is that NVIDIA's stand? I don't see any write-up here as to if it was manufacturer. It doesn't look like they did. I was to guess it was Samsung, but I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Dark Souls Remastered was announced. This was one of those cool pieces of news that I only found out about during Nintendo's fucking Switch event, which we'll talk about next. That's just good news all around, man. That's all I got to say. Dark Souls is fucking happening, yo. I was like actually ecstatic when I heard that this. I don't know about you, but Dark Souls 3 probably had some of my favorite boss fights in the series, except for Atorius, from the original Dark Souls. So I think that was like a pretty great culmination in terms of bosses for the series, but in terms of world design, I don't think anything hit it out of the park as much as the first Dark Souls. Just that one continuous world that you can just picture from end to end in your mind, just walking through every part of it from one part to the other, especially since it takes till late in that game before you even get fast travel. So you really do learn it backwards and forwards, every monster spawn, that kind of stuff. Even like weird side passages, I remember, like the area you go down to get to the sewers, for example, like you only go there fucking once, maybe twice ever, but I still remember it, you know? And that game was a start of something, a start of like the return of hard games for a while there, if you think about it. Well, maybe not Dark Souls, but Demon Souls before it. Dark Souls was kind of like the breakout hit that really got it going. Demon Souls was more of the genesis of that movement, or the return to the hard games movement. But coming out May 25th on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC, I can't wait to see the PC version. Like, hopefully I can get it running at 4K 60 with my 1080 here. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. That game will be a pleasure to play again. I wonder what kind of things they'll do to the remaster. Hopefully it's not just the PC version remixed. And with that news, that was the big one more thing from the Nintendo Direct mini presentation in January. This news piece is from January 12th. I guess I went backwards in time there. Anyway, whatever. It was like a cute little Nintendo Direct that was kind of a thing to head off people's expectations for the January Direct, which showed a bunch of little things. But the biggest news of that was, in fact, Dark Souls Remastered for Switch. That is an interesting thing because, holy cow, I would love to play it on PC, but now that I think about it, man, I don't know. I might want to play it more on mobile. Like, it could be one of those things where that, like, going out, killing some things, getting some souls, coming back to the bonfire loop, or, like, that boss rush kind of loop works really well in short stints. I never really tried playing it that way, but I could see it working. And I know the Switch is a capable handheld. You could probably get it somewhere close to PS3 quality graphics, right? That said, like, I don't know how those sticks will work. Fuck, I hate those analog sticks on the actual Switch. The Pro Controller is fine, but if you're fucking playing on a television, you may as well play with a PC hooked up to the television, right? Or at least an Xbox One X or a PS4 Pro. Fuck, that makes me sound like such an elitist. But whatever, like, this is a remaster. If you want to play something that looks like a PS3 game, fucking play the current PC version. If you want to play something that's from 4K, there's only a couple places to do that. Anyway, so that's really cool, fun news. I was like, was and like really, really happy to hear it's coming to Switch. Next up. I think this is also during that event, January 12th, 2018. The World Ends With You coming to Nintendo Switch. People don't know this game. It is a Square Enix JRPG that has a lot of equivalences to something like a Persona game. Not the dating sim elements, but like the thematic elements of it. Where you're a person who wakes up in this weird in-between world, think the dark hour, where everyone else is around you, but they can't see you. And you can see these demons attacking people's minds that are driving them, not necessarily crazy, but like driving them towards negative thoughts and negative actions in their lives. And then your starting modus operandi, that's the wrong word for it. Your starting desire is to stop these demons. But on top of that, you have this weird thing where you're part of this like game. You're forced into this game where you have to defeat these powerful demons every day or you'll be erased. And so those two things kind of overlap in this interesting kind of metaphysical world / escape room kind of context with you and a cast of pretty cool characters that you get to know. I actually never personally gelled with this game, but I've always wanted to love it really, really bad. I bought it on the original version. I think it was 3DS or something. I mean 2DS. The original DS. Then I bought it on iPad, which is the one screen version, which collapses the gameplay so it's all dual one screen. If I'm honest, I probably will end up buying this fucking Nintendo Switch version because that's probably going to be like the definitive version of this game, and supposedly it adds in some whatever like post-ending content as well. In my continuing attempts to love this thing that I just have never gotten into, I don't know what it is. Like the art style is interesting, the music's kind of interesting. It's neither are really my style. Maybe that's it, but they're both cool. They're not bad. The story is really intriguing. The characters are funny. I don't know. There's something about it that's never really stuck to me, but I want to keep trying it. I'm definitely going to give it a shot. So that's something to look forward to. Again, The World Ends With You. It is coming out this year. I do not know. I do not think we have a release date for it yet. But there you go. Next up in this like trawl of news, 2018 news, we've got from, again, January 12th, 2018, probably the biggest news that direct, aside from maybe Dark Souls. I don't know. I think it might be cooler than Dark Souls. Detective Pikachu, motherfucker, is coming to the US. Fuck yeah. Ever since this game was fucking announced, I've been like, oh yeah, Detective Pikachu, day one. It's a cool thing with a fucking Pikachu who talks like a fucking Sherlock Holmes-esque character. In the Pokemon world, but in like a live action kind of version of the Pokemon world where Pokemon are going crazy and you have to solve why. I'm deeply curious if there's any murder mysteries involved. I strongly doubt it. I hope there's like thefts and stuff, like at least something interesting that's not just, oh, this Pokemon's gone crazy. Why is it gone crazy? Oh, it's got a thorn in its paw. Like, I don't want that shit. I want actual cool mysteries to solve. Professor Layton-esque, like that's all I really ask. At least that level of intrigue. But with a cool ass fucking Pikachu as the main character. Also, there's a gigantic fucking amiibo. I'm not an amiibo person, but this thing's like a foot tall or something. Maybe like 6 inches or 7 inches tall. It's huge. That's all I know. It's like twice the height. So 4 times the volume of a normal amiibo. 8 times the volume of a normal amiibo because it's cubed. I think it looks cool. We'll get to other even cooler amiibos later. Next up in this news, non-Nintendo news. I think this is the only Xbox news I've got. Sorry, just drinking here. A new Fable game is being developed at the Forza Horizon studio. I remember hearing about this and it legitimately got me surprised. So it's by it's not Turn 10. Who are the fucking guys? Playground Games are the developers. And it makes me wonder what kind of game this is. Because I am totally in the mood for another Fable RPG. Like a proper, full-on, even if it's Fable, like has the problems of a Fable 3, a real full-on British-style comedy, open-world RPG with like choice and ramifications through time. That's like the classic thing about Fable, right? You make a choice and years pass and you can see that kind of the effects of that choice. Classic thing. I am 100% on board for going back to that formula in 2019. I have no idea if Playground Games can pull that off. I don't even know that's what they're aiming for. Like the last couple of Fable games that came out were Fable Journey, or whatever it was, which is like this weird Rails not shooter for the Kinect, and then the cancelled Fable hero action game thing, four person co-op dungeon master is kind of game. I don't know, like who knows if they have the chops. We have to see the trailers for it, but honestly, Microsoft does need exclusives, and if you had to pick an exclusive that went dead but probably shouldn't have, it's probably Fable. And holy damn, it could be cool. Like, it could be really cool, especially since all those games come to PC as well. So do I want another Fable game on my PC? Absolutely. I'd play the shit out of that, as long as it's good. We'll find out. Next up, let's keep the trail rolling. The first of, like, quite a few bits of Naughty Dog news, but they're spaced out over time. This is from January 19th. The Last of Us director leaves Naughty Dog. And this is not... Okay, this is one of the two directors, Bruce Straley. He's like the gameplay, or he was like the gameplay guy at Naughty Dog. If you look at The Last of Us, at least this is how I understand it going down. Neil Druckmann was kind of the story and filmography guy. And Bruce Straley, which is the guy who left, sadly, was the gameplay guy. And he's famous for Uncharted 2 and The Last of Us. And, like, he fucking is legitimately amongst the best in the biz, if not the best in the biz, when it comes to just, like, preserving emotional impact, but also having a fun gameplay loop. Like, people have problems with Uncharted's shooting, and that's not the director's fault, really. It's more of a intersection between engine and a tuning of the camera and a bunch of other things. Like, there's a lot of things that go into shooting that can't necessarily be controlled by a director. But he's like the person who judges how long encounters. Like, this is the way I understand it, right? He might not have done this specifically, but to my understanding, he did things like tuned encounters and pacing and that kind of stuff, like really nitty gritty stuff, but also had some input into the storyline side of things. And fucking Uncharted 2, Uncharted 4, and The Last of Us, the best games Naughty Dog's ever made, and this guy's had a hand in all of them. So it's sad to hear that he left early in January. And apparently it was Uncharted 4 that kind of broke him. Not necessarily broke him, but he got tired of it after Uncharted 4. And apparently that was the first game that really demonstrated to him the difference between doing something out of passion and doing something out of obligation. Like, he felt he nailed that game, but he did it out of obligation because the studio was working on it. He needed to get done and he needed to do the work, and he did the fucking work and did it amazingly. But he didn't love doing it while he did it. And that kind of soured him to, at least for now, working in the industry by the looks of things. I don't know if he's going anywhere else. Doesn't sound like he is. It sounds like he's just walking away for now. I bet he'll be back, because most of these guys do come back, but probably in a smaller capacity. It'll be sad to see. So I'm very curious to see how The Last of Us 2 works out. I bet it'll be fine, because Naughty Dog's a studio of more than two people, but still, like, someone with that much talent, sad to see them leave. Anyway, that's Bruce Straley. Moving on. BioWare's Anthem, delayed till next year. You might have heard about this. And when I say this, don't think it's been delayed twice. Again, this story is from January 26, 2018. This is their announcement that has been delayed to 2019 or March 2019. I'm just saying this out loud because fucking everyone, like they announced the delay and everyone was like, there was no way that's coming out in 2018 anyway. Don't be fucking crazy. Like, you're not fooling fucking anybody. Who the hell thought that would come out in 2018? Of course it's fucking coming out in 2019. I bet it's going to be pushed to fucking December 2019, if not early 2020. 2020. Actually, 2020 totally works. I don't know how that game is going to work out. I am over the Destiny formula, and that game looked like fucking Destiny, but with flying around. In the end, like, co-op games are totally still awesome, as demonstrated by how many people fell in love with Monster Hunter this year. But I don't know if anything about Anthem really strikes a chord with me now that I look at it, aside from the graphics. Even then, fucking, when it comes out in 2019, 2020, I don't know if those graphics will even be that impressive. But I will say that it's still BioWare. This is essentially BioWare's last hurrah in my head. They have a Dragon Age in the works. So maybe that might be it. But it's one of those two games that really is, for me, the marker of whether BioWare is still even relevant anymore. EA just seems to have gutted that studio. Or at least, like, bent them over a knee to the point where their back's broken and they can no longer do anything but crawl towards some form of release for games. Fuck. This seems like a shadow sort of former self. Like, nothing they've done has come close to Mass Effect 2. It's been many years since that, right? But still, there's no reason to wish harm on a game. A lot of people, like, heard this, especially with the negative press around EA nowadays, and kind of cheered at how Anthem is looking like going, especially because it's fucking EA behind it. But honestly, like, there's developers behind this. I hope it does well. I hope it gets over its fucking Destiny ripoff funk. I hope it isn't filled with goddamn atrocious microtransactions, even though it probably fucking will be. Let's just hope for the best when it comes to this. I personally am looking for a good story, and I don't know if the direction they're going will even give me that. So we'll see. BioWare hasn't really proved itself when it comes to gameplay. Mass Effect Andromeda had decent gameplay, but it's not necessarily Destiny good. It was just good for a BioWare game. I don't know. I have hopes for Anthem, but we'll see. Moving on. After 10 months in the market, the Nintendo Switch outsold the Wii U. It's been, what, 6 years? Since the Wii U came out? Holy cow. Like, this, I can't really say I'm surprised. Like, seriously. I can't really say I'm surprised at all. Nintendo Switch is a pretty cool piece of kit. And by all, like, external viewpoints, the Wii U seemed like a kind of piece of garbage with some decent games on it. So I'm fucking no shit that they'd sell more. I think it looks like they've sold like 12 or so million, 14 or so million Switches as the time of publishing, January 31st, 2011. That's fucking great. Good for them. Now it just needs more games. So far, I've got Zelda, Mario. And that's it. I think I only have fucking two. No, I have one other. Stardew Valley. That's right. So I only have three games on this fucking thing right now. And I haven't really played much of Stardew Valley, and I fucking hate Mario. Well, I hate Mario. I just didn't particularly love Mario. I gave it a shot. I gave it a fucking chance. It didn't grow on me. So I don't know. Like, maybe if you're a Nintendo fan, you're in love with this thing so far. But for me, it's been a case of, like the early days of the PlayStation 4, that panned out eventually, but in the early days it was just a bunch of promises in a box. This is the same thing. It's a bunch of promises of cool future things in a box, and we'll see if it ever gets there. The PS4 definitely did, and I have no reason to doubt Nintendo will do the same, especially with third-party support. Like, I just need a Phoenix Wright for this thing, honestly, and I'll be happy. But that Detective Pikachu game, no, actually, sorry, that's 3DS. The Fire Emblem game, give me a Fire Emblem on an actual 3D engine, and I would be happy. So this thing's already like primed for success, and I'm happy it's selling well. Moving on. But fuck, man, that Wii U is a fucking train wreck. Anyway, Metroid Prime 4 for Nintendo Switch is being developed by Bandai Namco, not Nintendo in-house, and not Treehouse. Sorry, not Treehouse. The Donkey Kong guys, Retro. People were hoping for it to be developed by Retro, and I'm pretty sure they made the Metroid Prime games. It's not. It's made by fucking Bandai Namco. I don't know what team it is on the Bandai Namco group. I'm trying to look here. Like, people are acquainted to the Dark Souls, but fuck me, that's From Software, and that's not a different thing. Bandai Namco publishes Dark Souls, doesn't fucking develop Dark Souls. I don't see like actual demonstration of what the team who's working on this did before. We shall see, you know. I'm just actually kind of I find it darkly humorous that it wasn't Retro, because of course it wasn't fucking Retro. Like, they finally did the thing everyone was awesome to do, but they did it in a shitty way, and that's just Nintendo. That's just how Nintendo do. Nintendo is, for me, weirdly enough, it's crazy to say, but it's always been about the third-party games, because fuck Nintendo's first-party stuff, except for that Zelda game, which is okay. This is what they do. They farm shit out. Sometimes it ends out well, like that Rabbids game. Sometimes they're terrible, like fucking Metroid... What was it? Zero Mission? Metroid Prime something? The one where Samus takes off her helmet and it's like just a pretty girl and everyone complained for some reason. I don't know. Apparently the game is just shit. I don't know. Might just be more of that. We'll see. I just find it funny. It was inevitable. It was inevitable they fucked up. Hopefully they didn't. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully it ends up excellent and everyone's happy. We'll see. All right, I'm going to skip that for now. I'll come back to it later at the end here because it's a piece of joke news. Horizon Zero Dawn, this is February 28, 2018. I'm not sure. Fuck, I skipped forward a whole month there. Apparently there wasn't much interesting going on. Horizon Zero Dawn is the highest selling new IP on the PlayStation 4. Or it might be the highest selling first party new IP on the PlayStation 4. 7.6 million copies as of February 28th, so relatively recently. That's freaking amazing. It's my personal game of the year of 2017, and it fucking deserves it. I'm really happy for them. That's not even including, because that wasn't on PlayStation Plus or anything, and it's not even including sales I might have gotten from the Frozen Wilds, which is the deal, the kind of largish DLC they put out as a separate purchase. This just, yeah, I really hope they can measure up to it and they don't fuck up the second one. Most of the time, you can pretty much count on the second game in the series being amongst the best, if not the best of that series. So I have, which is kind of a sad thing to say, if you think about it, because Assassin's Creed 2 was not really topped by anything else, especially like because everything else kind of stood on its shoulders. Everyone knows about Mass Effect 2. The Witcher 3 is an exception to that rule. That's probably the best in that series, but Witcher 2 was a fucking high point as well. In many cases, I would say, the second in series is kind of like the one that nails the first one's vision in a fantastic way that actually kind of sells the whole concept. And everything past there is kind of like a building upon that one's shoulders. So it's Horizon Zero Dawn 2, or Horizon Second Dawn, or whatever the fuck they call it. That could be a thing. And the fact that this sold 7.6 million copies is more indication that Sony will hopefully give the sequel the time it needs to actually percolate and get good. We'll see. All right, another piece of dirt news. I'll skip that for now because it's really fun. Sony blocks PS4 game about picking up women. March 7th, 2017. The game called Super Seducer was to be put out. It was launched on Steam for $10. And it's a game about how to pick up girls. And it includes things like... it's from the seduction guru Richard LaRuina. Richard LaRuina. Ruina? Who gives player advice on how to speak to women in places like coffee shops, offices, and bars. The women are also shown via video. So it's pretty much a live action fucking FMV game about dating. And that's one of those weird things where this is kind of, I don't know, this is kind of a gray area where I really, like, there was no sex in this game. And it doesn't seem to me like he was abusing women in any shape or form. As far as, like, I don't know, cold approaches can be seen as abuse. And that's one of those curious things where, as an relative external observer to the dating scene nowadays, it looks like whether a cold approach is considered abuse or not is if you're a creepy guy or not. If you're an attractive dude and you cold approach a girl, like, sure, I would say that it's an increasing proportion of girls who just never want to be cold approached. That's fair. Like, you're doing your own thing. You don't need fucking creepy guys calling all over you. But it is definitely the case that cold approaches are still a thing, and that's perfectly valid in the dating space. Especially since it seems to be harder and harder to meet women nowadays. I don't know. Like, again, external observer looking inwards. It's definitely a case of, like, I don't know. Are these skills guys should not talk about? Are these things guys should not talk about? Should cold approach be a taboo subject that deserves to be banned or pulled from PlayStation Network? I don't know. I'm not saying it is or it shouldn't. I'm saying I don't know. I can see arguments both ways, especially because it really does come down to the viewpoint that it's portraying. Like, does it objectify women? Does it say, does it encourage breaking people's personal space, interrupting important things with your weird, fucking one-liners or whatever? I don't know. Like, or is it just more like, hey, these are some signs that a woman might want to be approached? Because that's the thing. That's the thing that exists. Like, it's crazy to say that female sexuality is entirely without, like, it's crazy to say that no woman wants to be approached. In the same way, it's crazy to say that everyone wants to be approached. It's one of those weird things where I don't think that burying dating or approaching people, male or female, is a good thing for society. I don't know. It's just one of those weird things. I just found it really funny because the guy seemed really skeezy. I guess kind of, if anything, I think it might have been just the guy himself in the videos that made it creepy to the point of needing to be pulled. I don't know. He's got this weird, like, long haircut and, like, poor facial grooming. And maybe it's attractive. I don't know. I'm definitely not an expert at what women find attractive. Like, it's just his demeanor that got it fucking pulled down. It is just a very humorous thing. Like, even Googling his name and seeing the pictures that come up is a very curious thing. But either way, I personally lead on the side of, if it didn't portray women as objects, which I doubt it did, to be honest, because in my opinion, you don't get anywhere by treating anyone like an object. So if a game is trying to teach you how to approach women and it taught you to treat them as objects, it's probably a really shitty one of those, because it won't work. At least it won't work on anyone of quality. So if it's a game that did not objectify women, I don't think it should have been oppressed. Or suppressed. I think it is a perfectly valid thing to put on online. Maybe give it a higher rating. I don't know. I'm not sure if that qualifies as adult content. It depends how much he talks about the things you do after saying the first hello, going home afterwards or whatever. Maybe he talks about that quite a lot. Maybe that's enough to say, okay, maybe that should be AO and not fit for children and therefore not on console stores. But if it doesn't, which I doubt it does, to be honest, I don't think they should have pulled it. I think it's just artistic expression about a subject that shouldn't be taboo and deserves discussion. If maybe it's not okay, maybe it is okay. Either way, it deserves to be discussed, right? I don't know. Anyway, with that weird soapboxy part of my fucking thing aside, next game or next news topic. Origin Access is adding more non-EA games, including six Batman titles. So that's Warner Brothers. That's curious. So Origin Access is a weird thing where it's kind of like PlayStation Now or Xbox Live Gold, I guess, where you pay a subscription and you get access to a library of games that you can download and play on your hard drive. You don't have to stream like PlayStation Now. Did I say Now before? I meant Plus. You don't have to stream like PlayStation Now. You can play it like PlayStation Plus. And that's kind of... It's a cool model. It's like the Netflix for gaming model that is the golden goose that everyone wants to finally, you know, procure or establish. No one's cracked it yet because obviously everyone wants their own fucking slice of that pie. So that's probably just never going to happen. In the same way that online space is segregated into Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon Video, this is just going to be the same goddamn thing. But as far as I can see, there's nothing really bad about EA Access. So good for them. Good for them. Maybe this is a cool sign for more things to come on the EA Access side of things. If I were a developer, would I want to join parties with EA? Fuck no. I'd probably rather join Microsoft, which is a crazy thing to say because fuck Microsoft. Also, for that means fuck Sony and Nintendo. Like, all these guys seem to suck nowadays to varying degrees. The developers don't, let's be clear. Like, the people working there don't, but the company's policies don't seem to be particularly great in any fucking one of these cases. Microsoft seems, of all things, the fucking good guys right now, and that's kind of scary to me, of all things. But either way, fucking whatever. I wouldn't join EA. These guys have. Good for them. Hopefully the people who pay for EA Access get more value for their money. We'll see how things progress going forward. Speaking of shitty saving practices or saying no way to them, Corey Barlog says no freaking way to microtransactions in God of War. And the only thing I have to say to that is thank God. Thank you, Corey. Man, yeah, I'm happy to hear there'll be no fucking shitty microtransaction bullshit in God of War. That game is probably my most anticipated game of the year, and it's only like a month away. I'm so happy I have this OLED to play that game on in 4K, and that's going to be fucking something else. I can't wait. But yeah, I'm happy Sony is at least... seems to be learning from everyone else's mistakes as they tend to, as is their want, as they've always seemed to do, which is act slower but more carefully, seems to be Sony's way. Not always the best thing, especially when it comes to like things like online play, so, you know, cross-platform play, etc. They seem to be fucking dragging their heels on that like assholes. But in cases like this, it seems to be a good thing. Far out. I just can't understate how much I want to play God of War. Moving on. Elder Scrolls Fallout dev Bethesda opens a new studio whose projects remain unknown. I'm going to guess mobile games. That's my fucking guess. It's they opened it in Austin, Texas. And this article is great at pointing out... what else Bethesda makes, like fucking Doom and a bunch of other things, but is this studio gonna make something awesome like Doom? I don't know, man. I'm really skeptical about Bethesda nowadays. Ever since their change in policies about review scores, it seems like they're going down the standard path of becoming slowly more evil. As it is, like, so far so good. They haven't put out a bad game in a while, like, even though their reviews policy is shit. Their games have been pretty fucking excellent. Wolfenstein 2 was pretty good by all accounts last year. Hopefully this Austin game studio churns out something awesome, like Prey, Wolfenstein. My guess, though, again, mobile games. Moving on. From here forward, we've now caught all the way up to March 10th. Which brings us to fucking the Nintendo Direct that just happened. Because holy shit. That thing was pretty cool. Like, a pretty big Nintendo Direct. Really nice to see Nintendo starting this stuff, especially when in my previous statements regarding the Switch not having any fucking games that are new and interesting. That said, though, most of the Direct did kind of just announce either far-off games or remasters or ports. But still, like, I'm not going to complain about there being more games available in the system, right? So let's see some big hitters of this Direct. Akami HD coming to Switch. It's a cool port with touchscreen support. Good for them. I don't know. And touchscreen support and motion control support, because obviously, I don't know. Nothing to complain about. That game's supposedly very good. I tuned out the moment I realized it didn't have voice acting, which I guess makes sense since it's a Zelda game, but fucking, I don't care. I need voice acting in my long RPGs, and that doesn't have it, so I'm not interested. Next up, new WarioWare coming in August 2018. For people who like WarioWare, that's a cool thing. Personally, don't like WarioWare. Luigi's Mansion Remake, announced for 3DS. They're still making 3DS games? Undertale is coming to Nintendo Switch. I have played that already. Many times. Captain Toad is heading to Switch. I do not care. But some people actually really care about that weird little cute Captain Toad game, I guess. And it comes with new Super Mario Odyssey levels for people who love that, which is apparently everyone but me. So there you go. I don't know. Captain Toad Treasure Tracker is the game. And it's like a puzzle game kind of thing. Sure. Again, no reason to complain that more games coming to Switch. South Park Fractured But Whole comes in April. Crash Bandicoot Remaster is coming as well. That's also coming to Xbox One and PC. And finally, news that actually fucking matters. And actually, this might have come out in the previous Direct, but there's three pieces of news here. 3.5 pieces of news here that are actually really cool, I think. The first of which is the one that means the least to me, but it's probably the most important to Nintendo, is Super Smash Bros. 4, or sorry, 5, or something. Super Smash Bros. Switch has been announced. Off the back of a Splatoon 2 announcement that I couldn't give less than... I couldn't give one shit about, let alone two. But this thing, I'm happy for people. They've been looking forward to Smash for quite a long time, and they're adding Splatoon people to it. Obviously, that makes sense. The trailer was pretty baller. I personally find it kind of ludicrous to see an ominous Mario, because that character design looks dumb, but whatever. I guess people got their jimmies in the rustle for it, and sure, it's Super Smash, not a fighting game, is my stance on that. It's going to piss off a bunch of Nintendo people. Oh, don't be crazy. No one who cares about Nintendo still listens to this fucking podcast. All right. Dark Souls Switch Beta is a cool thing that's happening. But more importantly, and probably the coolest piece of news from this event for me personally, aside from maybe one other, actually probably more than the other one, a amiibo for Solaire or Vestora has been announced. And it's just fucking Solaire doing the fucking Praise the Sun pose, and it's perfect. It's one of the most perfect things I have seen in video games. That's it. It's a fucking Solaire figure doing Praise the Sun. And I'm pretty sure all it does when you put it on the Switch is make your character do Praise the Sun. And that's absolutely Dark Souls to the soul, to the heart. Just perfection. I love it. No complaints. Just fucking perfect. All right. What else we have? Probably the coolest new game announcement of the two Switch events is Super Mario Tennis. Switches Mario Tennis something. Mario Tennis Aces coming to the Switch on June 22nd. And this actually kind of looks, admittedly, pretty awesome. I, as a person who's clearly got things against Mario, has got things against Nintendo art style, something about there being a single-player campaign to a tennis game with production values behind it sounds awesome. and I am totally on board with that. It looks good for a Nintendo game. I bet it plays well because fucking Mario Tennis games have always played fine. But for me, it really is about that single player mode, and I'm actually kind of excited. Hopefully it reviews well. Hopefully it's not hot garbage, like the single player, I mean, specifically. Hopefully it's fun, and if it is, I might pick that game up. It's been a long time since I played a tennis game. A long, long time. So, that's something. And then finally, rivaling Solaire Astora for biggest news is Square Enix's Octopath Traveler, now with the word project removed from the title, meaning that this is the final name for that fucking game. And it's a pretty shitty name, but whatever, it's Square Enix, so they can do whatever they want. Octopath Traveler is launching on July 13th on the Nintendo Switch, and that could be the biggest game of July, as far as I'm concerned. That game still looks awesome. Hopefully its story is not terrible. We'll see. We will see. Gameplay-wise, it seems absolutely excellent. I loved everything I did. I saw with the gameplay, with that, with the demo, etc. Everything top-notch. Visuals, obviously top-notch. Audio, top-notch. That all it comes down to is whether they can pull off a good story. And considering Square Enix, they probably can't, but we'll see. Hopefully it's good. All right. Last couple pieces of news here before we move on with news, and that's pretty much the end of the cynical supplement, I think, because I'm getting fucking ridiculously tired. And it's been an hour of me talking continuously. The Last of Us 2. Another piece of news about that. The director, Neil Druckmann, who I've mentioned before, the co-creator, co-writer of The Last of Us and Uncharted 4, game director, etc., has gotten a promotion to vice president of Naughty Dog. So fucking, that's a pretty crazy thing to me, and good for him. I have no idea, like, it's strange when it comes to directors, because it's hard to tell what their behind-the-scenes face is like. Some directors are really amazing in public and turn out to be total assholes behind closed doors. And with the amount of, like, tumult in Naughty Dog over the last couple of years, it could be possible that Neil might be one of those guys who's kind of pretty much a hard ass when it comes to actually being on stage, on screen, equivalent of that stuff for gaming. But it also could be the case that he's just an absolute sweetheart, like he is in interviews. And you never fucking know. You never fucking know. But either way, assuming he is a really nice guy like he is in interviews, he's probably an excellent thing for that studio and well deserving of his vice president's position. And he's still the lead director on The Last of Us Part 2, so that's probably smooth sailing on that front as well. So all in all, looking forward to the things he does going forward. And Naughty Dog, best in the biz. Best in the biz. Up there with Nintendo, first party. I honestly, it's really, for me, it's just Persona Studio, Naughty Dog, and Nintendo that can do no wrong, really. Can do no wrong. I've had problems with games from all of those studios, but also think some of the games from each of those studios are the best ever made. Best ever made. Speaking of best games ever made, and studios who have made them, Valve, this is of March 10th, 2018, Valve has said it is going back to games development. After a brief foray into hardware shit, Valve's coming back, and Gabe Newell was the one to make the announcement. He said in the talk on the 9th of March that the company is going to start shipping games again. And he pointed to, and this is just my personal, I was just giggling with glee when I heard this. He pointed to Artifact, the fucking Dota 2 card game, as an example of him doing this. Does that mean like the next thing is going to be a fucking Team Fortress 2 card game? Or maybe like a CS card game, a Half-Life card game. Let's just have a card game for all of the fucking Valve IPs. Not one card game, one for each. Let's just one for each. Therefore, you can say you've put out four games, right? You put out four games, you're back to gaming, Valve's back. Fuck Valve. I don't know. Fuck Valve. That's kind of my stance right nowadays. Steam still charges too much in Australia, so I've never had a really like fucking good opinion of fucking Valve. I've also like never really loved the Half-Life series. I love CS. CS is probably one of the best fucking games ever made. But never really latched onto the Half-Life series. So Valve can whatever. Like, I don't give a fuck about them, anything they've made aside from CS. So when they say they're back to games, I'm not exactly like jumping from the fucking rooftops. Or sorry, jumping on crying from the rooftops. I'm not doing that. But that said, who the fuck knows? Maybe they'll actually put out something of worth. Do they even have people over there who know how to make games? Like, the Portal guys don't count. That's like kind of a separate studio owned by Valve, right? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. There's a lot of we'll see this episode. I guess it's the whole thing with the start of a new year or news in general is that a lot of it is just like promises for the future. And as we've seen over the last couple of years, it's very rare that a promise eventuates in something excellent. Sometimes it does. Like Monster Hunter World, that was a promise that eventuated in something truly special. Had its fucking flaws, obviously, but that game is still special. It's the mark of that series' real debut in the West. And that's a promise that they nailed, right? I suspect a God of War will nail its promises. Same with most likely The Last of Us 2. Less likely Metroid. But yes, it's nature of the beast. We will see. Has to be the statement you follow most of these stories up with. Speaking of we will see, and this is a kind of cool thing on my own radar, because they haven't announced what it is yet, but makers of the Shadow of Colossus remake, the developer named, what's that studio? Bluepoint Games in Austin, Texas, with the co-owner Marco Thrush giving a interview with Eurogamer. And they have announced, well, not necessarily announced, but they have revealed by the interview that they are working on another project and it is going to be another remake. They're just not going to say what it is yet. Part of this is sad because the context of this interview was them asking whether these guys would be making a new IP, because they've fucking demonstrated they can do pretty amazing things with Shadow of Colossus. Especially when it comes to engine and art design, all that kind of stuff. To be fair, a lot of it was like leveraging what the Japanese already did, Team Ico. But still, like, just being able to even emulate that and bring it forward to 2018 is an achievement in and of itself, and keep all the mystique of the original but bring it to a new engine. That's just demonstrable finesse and quality of your art team. And he in fact states that that game, Shadow Colossus, was an opportunity for them to expand their art team. It was another feather in their cap of getting their studio together to the point where he can finally push it towards doing a new and unique game. But for now, they're still growing their team and finding their legs. And that's actually a really crazily a pragmatic approach to gaming. I don't know, again, how much this is a case of just putting a business spin on, sorry, a creative spin on a business decision. Like, maybe they're just like, fuck it, remake's an easy way to make money, we're just gonna keep doing that. That could be their stance, but it sounds like they're, if I was to go in their words, which is a dangerous thing to do in 2018, but if I was to go in their words, this is a group of guys who have demonstrated back to back to back with the Nathan Drake collection, the God of War collection, and now Shadows of Colossus, they can do remakes like no one else's business. And with Shadows specifically, they can do something artistically top notch to the point of it rivals any other game on the whole fucking system in terms of pure quality. If they can do that, maybe they do have the legs to make their own game. But for now, they're doing one more remake at least. And that just makes me wonder. What is the remake they're working on? Because they have not revealed that. Man, I hope it's not Ico. That's kind of my stance, right? It's like, I hope it's something interesting that you wouldn't necessarily expect. Like, if I was Sony, and it'd be hard to finagle this deal, but if I was Sony, I would make it Shenmue. That could be a huge get. It probably wouldn't happen. Sega probably wants that. The creator might have feelings about that. But then if you look at how these guys nailed Shadows, like, maybe that's doable. Maybe they can convince those guys to let them do it. what else can I think of? Like, that was the last news topic, so I'm going to take a moment. Or one of the last news topics, aside from the joke ones. So I'm going to take a moment here to, like, just brainstorm, right? Like, if, like, Final Fantasy VII has already been made, and that's Square, that's not going to happen. But let's talk about, like, Sony first party, right? What is out there that they could do? Because, like, there's classic games that people always ask for that aren't Sony, to my knowledge. Like Soul Reaver, right? That people would love to see again, remade 2018 or 2019. But those aren't Sony games. I mean, I'm going to Google, like, Wikipedia here. Sony first party games or franchises. List of Sony Interactive games. We got Lemmings or whatever. Let's just have a look at this. Aquanaut's Holiday. Yeah, fuck. Wow. The PS1 era, man. Holy shit. Nova Storm. God. Spawn the Eternal. Twisted Metal. That's already been done. Warhawk. Already been done. Wipeout. I don't think so. Crash Bandicoot. Already been done. Epidemic. Don't remember. Jet Moto. Some people would like that. I couldn't give less of a fuck. Jumping Flash 2. Whatever. Mototune. I'm just reading, like, I'm just going down this list of first party games. Parappa the Rapper, already been done, or at least re-released. Let's see. IQ, Intelligent Cube, whatever. Jet Moto 2, like, whatever. Porsche Challenge, Rallycross, Rapid Racer. Steel Rain, Wild Arms, that's been done recently, hasn't it? 1998, that's when shit gets real, I think. Still no Everybody's Golf, that's obvious. Gran Turismo, that's not gonna be done. Legend of Legalia, Legaia, that could be interesting. I'm like leaning towards these old ash JRPGs, like that'd be really cool. Medieval's already happening, so it's not them. Running Wild, whatever. Spyro the Dragon, whatever. Ape Escape, I don't see anyone jumping out of the seats for a fucking Ape. So I see like three people in the world jumping out of the seats for an Ape Escape remake. Who cares about that? Umjamalami, ugh. Sorry, but ugh. No thanks. Crash Bash, God. Everybody's Golf 2. Yes, this is a sequel. Legend of Dragoon. I don't know if that game deserves a remake, but I don't know, maybe. I don't see anyone jumping out of the seats for Legend of fucking Dragoon. Like, really, it's one of those cases where, like, the big games, the big, big ones have already been announced. Like your Final Fantasy VII remakes, etc. PlayStation 2 era, let's have a look. Fantavision, Airblade, God, these are all random. Ico, which I already said, I don't really want them to do Ico because it's just more of that. I've just done that. If that studio is going to become a real studio that's able to make unique new IPs, they can't just go from Shadows to Ico, you know? Ratchet and Clank has just been redone. Let's see what else is here for 2002. Wipeout Fusion, whatever, nothing. 2003, Apescape 2, no. Dark Chronicle, people would like to see that. A lot of people would like to see that. Me, personally, but some people would like to see that. Primal. War of the Monsters, no. 2004. Athens, 2004. Everybody's Golf, Formula One, whatever. Jack 3, Jackie Chan Adventures. Maybe that's it. Maybe they can do a Jackie Chan Adventures and really fucking set the world on fire with that. Siren. I think it's a prequel to also the first version of Siren Blood Curse. And that was redone recently. Relatively recently. Did not set the world on fire. Genji, Dawn of the Samurai. No, thank you. Sing Star, God. Wild Arms again. WC Vary, 2006. Wow, there isn't that many, like, really unique first-party games from Sony back in the day. Like, you have Ico, you have Shadows, but then you fucking really don't have much. Already famous, etc. 2008. I'm still scrolling on this list and not seeing anything that really jumps out at me. MotorStorm. Remember that game? Remember MotorStorm in 2009? Wow. Far out. It's been a while. That studio's gone, isn't it? PlayStation 3 days. Resistance, Fall of Man. I actually wouldn't mind if they remade Resistance 1. I actually don't mind that game, and the story is kind of okay. Like, the idea still holds up in a weird, crazy way, and the guns are still cool, thinking back to them. The enemy design needs a little bit of work, but, like, fuck, that could be a thing. It's pretty funny, but that could be a thing. Oh god, Lair. Remember that game? That doesn't deserve a remake. No one wants that. God. 2008. Africa. This remake, Africa. It's fucking taking photos of animals, the game. Like Pokemon Snap are real animals. That was supposedly pretty fucking sick. I don't know. Maybe Bluepoint's doing that? Doubt it. So far, I'm leaning towards probably Resistance Fall of Man, to be honest, or Legend of Lugalia or Dark Chronicle. Any of those could be excellent. Infamous 1, I wouldn't mind a remake of that. That game was great. That game was fantastic. Though I probably second Infamous 2 was the best in that. Again, another one of those fucking things. Uncharted 2, another one of those second things. Going back to my earlier discussion of the second one being might be the best in the series. Time and time again. I probably personally preferred 4, but 2 was fucking excellent. Let's see, God of War. Heavy Rain just got a remaster, so doesn't need that. This is already up 2010. Still not seeing anything that really needs a remake. I really wonder what Bluepoint's working on, you know? I really do wonder. Shadow of the Colossus, it's gotten multiple remakes. Or at least re-releases. God of War Saga, that was them. Sorcery, who cares? That's pretty much it. I'm not going to look anything after 2013. Can't remake a game from fucking 2013 or newer. That's my short list. It's fucking Legend of Lugalia, Legend of Dragoon, Dark Chronicle, and Resistance Fall of Man. That's kind of my top couple. If I was Sony, I would actually legitimately consider, especially in this era where fucking World War II and World War I's back in vogue, I wouldn't say no to a Resistance Fall of Man remake from Bluepoint Games. It'll give them another like opportunity to expand their repertoire, right? And it could be really cool. I don't know. That's just the thing. That's just the thing I want to talk about. Anyway, and with that, that is the news catch-up. And my cynical supplement for the week, I will be putting out another episode within the next week or so. It will either be a full Scotchcast this Sunday recording for Wednesday release / Tuesday American time release, or another cynical supplement, because I want to keep these up regular. Probably not weekly in the long term, but at least for the immediate future, because I only did an hour today, and you guys deserve more than that. I have some too fucking tired to keep going, sadly. Sorry. But hopefully that catch up worked for you. Next episode, I plan to talk in depth again about Monster Hunter and Shadows of the Colossus. And I'll be, that's the work. It'll be at the period of time where we're working up to a, release of God of War. There were a bunch of fucking really cool games to come out recently that I have not had a chance to play / will probably never play. And that's kind of sad. Yakuza 6, you know, I'm not sure if that's out or might be coming out soon. But I can't play that until I've got Yakuza 1 sitting on my hard drive, ready to go. The remake, sorry. Oh, Yakuza Kiwami. I need to play that. I need to play all of them before I get to 6. Like, I cannot play this thing out of order, right? So there's no chance of me fucking playing Yakuza 6 either at release or near release. No way. What else has come out recently that maybe no one has touched? Like, we definitely played Mohan. I have no interest in Life is Strange. I played a bit of that and no thank you. Final Fantasy 15 PC release. I think a bunch of people will be playing that. That looks like a really good port. Like, it's graphically demanding, obviously, because it's fucking Final Fantasy 15 of all things. And it's got HDR and 4K support / multiple resolution support, according to Digital Foundry's fantastic breakdown. Apparently a good port. Also an excellent game that I really, really loved when it came out. I think it was like number 3 in my list that year. Definitely worth it. Speaking of games coming out soon, though, that we'll be playing, I will either be playing Detective Pikachu or Ni No Kuni. That's coming out March 23rd, so you're definitely fucking hearing me talk about that in the near future. I think the next recording will be up on the 21st or 20th of March, so that'll be before this game comes out on the 23rd. But just to point it out, that that's coming out for you people at home, just be warned that big games on the horizon, Ni No Kuni 2 and fucking Detective Pikachu, in my opinion, of equal quality and worth to look forward to. It's probably underselling Ni No Kuni or overselling Detective Pikachu, but I don't give a fuck. Detective Pikachu is sick. The guy's got a deep voice. That's pretty much it in the near future. That's pretty much it. It looks like I haven't actually missed that many games. Oh, I swear I've missed something that's happened recently. Whatever. Shadows is gorgeous, and Monster Hunter was a tour de force and a thing that got me into that series in a way that, to the point where I know in my heart of hearts that I am going to buy the next Monster Hunter the moment it comes out. Will I go back for DLC? Probably not. Like, I rang most of what I wanted out of that game. Maybe if like Durin and this friend of his I play with, Melojo, are interested in playing DLC together and they let me know, I'll happily hop on and play that with them. But like of my own volition, I'm too wrapped up in other things at the moment to really get into that and jump in there. But really it is a case of fuck, man, like that game was, it's already a game of the year contender. I strongly suspect it will be in my top five at the end of the year. Just looking at this year's releases, hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm proved wrong and a bunch of like in fucking incredible games come out this year that like knock it down my list. But honestly, that game was so good. It's going to take a fucking pretty big contenders like your God of War, etc., to really knock it down from that pole position as it's sitting right now. Even Shadows of Colossus doesn't come close, though that is in the running by our rules. Remakes don't count. But damn, Monster Hunter. That was cool. Talk about it more in the near future. Hopefully I get... The reason I'm putting it off is because I really would like Durin on here or someone else on here to share multiple perspectives of Monster Hunter with when I discuss it. So I know I've been pushing it off for 2 weeks now, but whatever. I will talk about it on the next recording because there will be nowhere near as much news as I just went through to go through at that time. And so with that, thank you for listening to this Cynical Supplement. See you next week. Goodbye.